Today on Renewing Your Mind.
In every awakening, it is a painful experience. There is no soft or easy awakening, because an awakening brings with it an awakening to the holiness of God and to the unholiness of the individual.
The idea of awakening, or revival as some refer to it, is deeply rooted in American evangelical culture. As a child, I remember every year in our church, we would designate one week when a visiting pastor or evangelist would come and preach, and they called it a revival. But is that what revival or awakening really is? Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb. Awakening was the theme of our 2018 Ligonier National Conference, and this week we're airing some of the sessions from that conference. Today, Ligonier Teaching Fellow Dr. Stephen Lawson provides us with a biblical understanding of awakening by looking at how it swept through the entire nation of Israel in the Old Testament.
I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8. And I want us to look at an awakening that takes place in Scripture, one that is not conceived by man or conjured up by a committee, but an awakening that has come down out of heaven and has impacted the people of God. It is the awakening that took place under the preaching of Ezra in the days of Nehemiah as they gathered at the water gate. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning, that would be about 6 a.m., until midday, that would be noon, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. I remember one time Dr. Sproul telling me, tell the people it was not a plexiglass pulpit. In verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he had opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. At the end of verse 7, the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. Then they read from the book of the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Now give special note beginning in verse 9. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Throughout redemptive history, every great awakening has always been accompanied by deep conviction of sin. In these mighty movements of God, the word of God is proclaimed, and hearts are cut to the core, and souls are laid bare before God. Sin that has long been suppressed is now suddenly exposed. and consciences are smitten, and guilt escalates, and deep sorrow over sin comes. Conviction of sin becomes intolerable, and laughter is turned into weeping, and joy is turned into gloom, and heaviness of heart settles upon the people like a thick fog. And in that heart-rending experience, in the day of God's visitation, sin is confessed, and repentance runs deep, and Jesus is embraced, and the soul is cleansed, and forgiveness is received. In every awakening, it is a painful experience. There is no soft or easy awakening, because an awakening brings with it an awakening to the holiness of God and an awakening to the unholiness of the individual. Under the realization that my sin has been a violation of the holiness of God. This is precisely what transpired in this revival, this awakening at the Watergate. And those who heard the word of the Lord were pierced to the depths of their soul, and they were cut to the core as there was a new awareness of their own sin, and they cry out to God for relief. What we see in this passage is a prototype of every awakening and every genuine heaven-sent revival. And the weeping will turn into joy, but it begins with deep conviction of sin. As we look at this text, I want to set before you three headings. And the first is found in verse 1. I want you to note the cry for God's word. In verse 1, we read, all the people gathered as one man. Commentators tell us that there were as few as 30,000 people, as many as 50,000 people, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of north of 40,000 people gathered here. It was an enormous assembly of people, and they gathered as one man, meaning they were there for one purpose. As they were there in one place with one mind, as they gathered in the square, which was in front of the Watergate on the east side of Jerusalem. And the time was the first day of the seventh month, which was the equivalent of the beginning of the new year in the Jewish calendar. It was like, we want to start the new year right with God. We want the word of God brought to us. And this was a time in which they were to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a time for the public ministry of the word of God. And so these multiplied thousands of people, making this group look like a small group Bible study. They were all gathered there. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to them. The people understood the one man in this nation who knows the word of God better than anyone else is Ezra. And 14 years earlier, Ezra had returned to the promised land from Babylonian captivity in the second return. In Ezra 7, verse 10, it says that Ezra devoted himself to the law of the Lord. He set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so for 14 years, Ezra has been digging into the word of God. And so now on this occasion, they call for Ezra and they cry out with one voice, bring the book, bring the book. And this is what is so desperately needed in churches today, a spiritual hunger in the pew to cry out to the pastor, bring us the Bible, bring us the word of God. And the people need to begin to cry out, pastor, Could we have fewer announcements? Could we have more Bible? Pastor, could you tell us less about the culture? Can you tell us more about the Bible? Pastor, could we have fewer stories about your children? Give us Bible. And Pastor, would you fire the drama team? Give us the Bible. Talk to us like an adult. Pastor, could we hear less about the building program? Could we hear less about the budget? Could we have more Bible? Pastor, could you shorten your introduction to your sermon and just get into the Bible? Your front porch is bigger than the house. That's funny. That was the only thing not in my notes. But this is what is needed. And as you go back to your churches, if we are to have a revival like what we see in Nehemiah chapter 8, it is going to be incumbent upon each and every one of you to cry out to your pastor, bring us the book. Bring us the Bible. That's where this begins. This is a preacher's dream. He'll be pinching himself at night. Now, second, the confrontation. The confrontation with God's word, beginning in verse 2, and in response to their demand, Ezra now steps forward to meet their request. And he did not disappoint them in the least, but delivered to them a masterful presentation of the word of God. And so in verse 2, then Ezra the priest brought the law. Ezra has prepared his whole life for this one moment. And for 14 years, Ezra has been with scrolls of scripture, unraveled before him, studying the word, digging into the text, grasping its meaning, capturing its thunder, incorporating it into his soul, applying it into his own life, practicing it at his own walk, teaching it faithfully all of these years. Now is the time as he steps in front of the entire nation, as they have gathered together on this moment, as they're crying out for the word of God. And in verse 3, he read from it. And as he read from it, please do not think that this was some monotone, boring reading of scripture, like goes on in most churches where the scripture is read, where it's the bland leading the bland. And this word read in the Hebrew is a word, kara, which means to cry out. It means to call aloud. It means to roar. It means to roar like a lion. It means to proclaim. It's the very word that is used in Jonah 3 and verse 2, when Jonah cried out, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And so as Ezra is reading the word of God, he is very impassioned as he reads the word. From early morning until midday, it was an adult portion of scripture. I'll never forget the day in class when Dr. Sproul took an entire morning with us on how to read the Bible publicly from the pulpit. I remember how he took Genesis 22, Abraham offering up Isaac, and how he told us, find the drama in the story. And certain words just have an effect upon the ear. And with that gravelly voice saying, Moriah, as Abraham went to Moriah. What Ezra is doing here is he is putting his heart and his soul into the reading of the word of God. He is literally preaching the word as he is reading the word. He is emphatic. And note the response in verse 3, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The word attentive here in the Hebrew means the turning of the ear. They all leaned forward and turned their ear towards Ezra so that they could drink in the word of God. And when the preacher takes the word of God seriously, it escalates in the people to take the word of God seriously. No entertainment was needed on this day to hold the attention of the people. And people say to me, well, today people have such a short attention span, you can only preach tiny little sermons. I go, they didn't have an attention problem on Saturday night. They went to the football game. They went early for the tailgating. They stayed late for sudden death. They stormed the field when it was over. Then they went to the concert. And now you want me to believe that suddenly they have an attention problem? No, they have a heart problem. Well, the people here, their hearts were hungry and they were attentive to take in the word of God. And in verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood at, could really be on, a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. That was so that he could be seen and so he could be heard and to project his voice. He is surrounded by these 13 spiritual leaders, 7 on the right, 6 on the left. It is a statement of solidarity. We are standing with the preacher. We stand with the message that is being brought as they're like bookends around him. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. They instinctively rose to their feet in order to express reverence and awe for the word of God, because they realized that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And that this is coming down from God above as the word of God is being read to us. And in verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. His reading of the word of God was in reality a coronation service. As he is blessing the name of God, magnifying the God of the word, as he is reading it and as he is explaining it. I like what John Piper says, we are to be exaltational expositors. Always exalting the greatness of our God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. The Presbyterian said, amen, amen. While lifting up their hands, and that was symbolic. They realized this message is not coming from Ezra. This message is coming from God. And Moses is only the secondary author. The primary author is the God of heaven and earth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so their hands are lifted up as though receiving this message down from God. And then they bowed low. How low? Their faces were in the dirt. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord. It was this high theology that was driving this high doxology. And the deeper they went down into the word, the higher they were rising up to worship God. It's what James Montgomery Boyce called the teeter-totter effect. Like little children playing on a playground on a seesaw. And when one end is up, the other end is down. Both ends can never be up at the same time. It's one or the other. And Boyce said, as God is exalted, man is humbled. But when man is exalted, it is as though God is dethroned. And so here he is blessing the great God and lifting up the name of God. It was a magnification of God. The higher he lifted God, the lower the people were brought down in submission and humility. To the point that their faces were on the ground. God is doing something here in their midst. No one's tapping their watch. No one is looking around. People are spellbound. It is a moment in time. And they are responding to the word of God. And at the end of verse 7, it says, the Levites who are scattered among the people, in order to relay what Ezra is saying to this vast contingency of people. The Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. So along with the reading of the word of God is the explanation or the interpretation of the word of God, and surely with application. But how important it is to explain the text. And that's what must happen again today. every awakening is ushered in by a new generation of men who will proclaim the scripture, who will bring the book. So I want you to note now, third, the conviction from God's word. Cut to the heart, cut to the core. That's what happened. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, sent to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or grieve." Why would he say that? Because they were grieving uncontrollably. They were mourning and weeping. And at the end of verse 9, he explains it, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. You know what was happening here? The word of God, which is like a mirror that allows you to see yourself for who you are and what you are. People are now looking into the mirror of the word of God, and they are seeing their blemishes, and they are seeing their flaws, and they are seeing actually what God sees in them. And it is appalling, and they are awakened. It's like they've been asleep. It's like they've been unconscious to their own spiritual state of soul. And now suddenly it's as though they've been aroused from a deep sleep, and they're now awakened, and they look into the mirror. And they come under deep conviction of sin. If God is to send us a great awakening, among the many different features, there will be the conviction of sin. For it is the Holy Spirit who has come into the world to convict men of sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin because they believe not, righteousness because I've gone to my Father, and judgment because the prince of this world has been cast down. May God bring such a revival to us.
Awakening, true awakening, begins in the hearts of individuals responding to the conviction from the Holy Spirit. This message today from Dr. Stephen Lawson is another highlight of our 2018 Ligonier Ministries National Conference. Our theme was awakening, and that's our focus this week here on Renewing Your Mind. We put the entire conference, 23 messages in all, into a 5-DVD set. You'll find messages from Drs. Albert Mohler, Derek Thomas, Sinclair Ferguson, and many others. We'd be glad to send you these DVDs for your gift of any amount when you call us at 800-435-4343 or when you make your request online at renewingyourmind.org. After he spoke, I asked Dr. Lawson to join me at the Renewing Your Mind booth there at the conference. You heard him say that only the Word of God can cut so deep as to reveal yourself to yourself. And I asked him to explain that a little further.
That's why in James 1, the scripture is referred to as a mirror. And what do you do with a mirror? You see yourself for the very first time. You cannot see yourself without a mirror, certainly in the ancient world. And when you look into the mirror of the Word of God, it is shocking to see that there are flaws and blemishes and deformities that you would not know otherwise. And so, yes, it is only the Word of God that can do this. History won't do this. Psychology won't do this. Sociology cannot do this. Study of medicine cannot do this. Study of culture certainly cannot do this. There is only one instrument that can penetrate so deeply that it opens you up and you look and see yourself for what you really are. And that is exclusively the ministry of the Word of God.
Well, we so appreciate Dr. Stephen Lawson, one of our Ligonier Teaching Fellows. And again, we encourage you to request the 5-DVD set of Awakening, our Ligonier Ministries National Conference from this year. It's yours for your gift of any amount when you call us at 800-435-4343 or when you go online to renewingyourmind.org. Well, here we are in the month of August, but I do hope you're already considering attending the 2019 Ligonier National Conference. We've sold out the last couple of years, and you won't want to miss this one.
before he went home to be with the Lord. Dr. R.C. Sproul had a hand in planning this event. It was one of his favorite topics, and that being the holiness of God. You can find out more information and register when you go to Ligonier.org/2019. That's Ligonier.org/2019. Well, tomorrow, as we continue our highlights of the 2018 National Conference, we will hear a poignant testimony from a longtime friend of Ligonier Ministries.
Not a one of us is inclined to go to the cross. It rubs against every grain of human inclination within us. And so God, our wise and sovereign God, gives us a little help in getting to Calvary. He gives us suffering.
Who better to talk about suffering and the sovereignty of God than Johnny Erickson Tada? We hope you'll join us Wednesday for Renewing Your Mind.